Scripture reading today is in John 11, 28 through 29. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. So glad to be here this morning. Just so excited. It was just a beautiful drive out here, and I'm just so happy to be here. I am Rondine Smith. I'll just give you a little introduction so you know just a little bit about me. I have Jamaican parents, and I grew up in Tennessee, although I was born in the north, and I moved out here in June of 2020. I feel like God was calling me here, so follow that. I am currently at the Upper Columbia Conference, and I work with the Ministerial Evangelism, Men's Ministries, Family Ministries under Eric Brown, and also assist the President's Office with David Jamison, and both of them send their greetings to you all. I have worked in Grad Studies Office. I've been a resident assistant, so we're helping young adults as well, and I've worked in the Psych Center for a little over 3 years on the East Coast. So I've had lots of fun, interesting experiences. I am a proud aunt to 3 very precious socialized cats, 2 nieces and 2 nephews and a niece, Leonidas, Fujine, and Aura, and they're absolutely wonderful. And I enjoy writing. I enjoy reading. I like cooking and baking because I love feeding people. And I love to minister and to serve. And that is my life. I enjoy church participation in whatever capacity, especially children's story, because our little ones are just the most precious things. Such wonderful, precious gifts from God. And like I said, I love serving the Lord. I'm so grateful to be able to be here, that He would choose even me to be able to serve. So I want to invite the Holy Spirit to join us today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, allowing us to be here. Lord, thank you for being such an awesome, amazing, loving, wonderful God. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for how mighty you are. We just praise you because you said in your word that you inhabit the praises of your people. So we invite your presence, invite your Holy Spirit, please, to be in my mouth. That's what I say. Be in the ears of the people who are listening, whether here or online. And I pray that your Spirit will be glorified. You will be glorified through what happens in this service today. In the sweetest name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning was in John 11, verses 28 and 29. Since it was just read, I will not reread it. But I'll just read verse 29, which says, as soon as she heard that, when Martha told Mary that Jesus called her, as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now, the focus of today is not necessarily that, but it is truly the principle of being called. We had a lot of information on the Reformation today, which was wonderful, because we needed to have that.
Excuse me, I'm just going to bring the mic up a little bit, because it isn't getting your voice.
It's not getting my voice, because I'm using this one.
You're using
I'm using this one. I want to be able to move around a little bit. Is that better?
Yes.
Praises. Awesome. Thank you for letting me know. I'll try to keep this closer. We heard from the different individuals from the Reformation today. I might have to actually use the podium mic if that's going to be easier because this thing keeps moving. Is it fine? Okay. Just wave at me if you can't hear. We had so many individuals of the Reformation who heard the call of God, a lot of emphasis on Martin Luther, which is really great, but there are also people in the Bible that heard the call of God and listened to him and followed him. We have the examples of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have Moses, Joshua, Samson, Samuel, David, the list goes on and on. It is replete with individuals who heard the call of God and chose to leave behind the lives that they had, the comfort that was also included with those things to be able to go and to serve him. Ellen White followed the call of God when she heard him. He gave her the visions. And her life as a prophet wasn't the easiest. However, this was what God called her to do, and she responded, and we have so many works, so much insight for the Bible, and insight onto how to grow closer to God because of that as well. Your pastor was called into ministry. I've been called to minister in my own capacities, and guess what? Everyone in here has been called to minister as well. Every single individual who loves the Lord has been called to minister and to go forth and to preach the gospel and to preach and teach and bring that to all the nations around here. But there's something that can sometimes prevent us from that. And that is our heart's stone, our prejudices, our preferences, the things that we feel like we cannot change. And you know what? We can't. We know this. How much time has been spent trying to change ourselves and have all these New Year's resolutions, different things, like I'm going to do X, Y, and Z this way, and it doesn't always go the way that we planned it. And it can be frustrating. What we need more than anything else is the Holy Spirit. How many individuals are blessed by the 40 days of prayer? Enjoy the 40 days praying for the Holy Spirit to be able to fall down and give us direction and have guidance for Upper Columbia Conference. And we want to continue to pray. We have got to continue praying. I know we've been praying for Jesus and waiting for Jesus to come for thousands of years, but we cannot lose faith because we have this hope that continues to burn within our hearts, the hope in the coming of the Lord. I have a couple quotes that I felt impressed to share. It's from Steps to Personal Revival, Being Filled with the Holy Spirit. Pages 48 is the first one. And this is just talking about just the importance of why God wants us to have the Holy Spirit. And God in his love wants to richly bless us through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. As a result, great loss can be avoided and immeasurable blessing can be experienced. And the wonderful thing is we can quickly remedy any situation with God's help. We have him to help us and to show and to guide us. And also on page 78, it says, one of the reasons that we need the Holy Spirit, half-hearted Christians, this is a quote from Ellen White, found in the Adventist Bible Commentary, half-hearted Christians are worse than infidels, for the deceptive words and non-committal position lead many astray. The infidel shows his colors. The lukewarm Christian deceives both parties. He is neither a good worldling nor a good Christian. Satan uses him to do a work that no one else can do. Whenever I first read that, that pricked my heart so hard. Because if you're half-hearted for the kingdom, then you're wholly in the hands of Satan to be used in a way that no one else can do and do a work that can do be terrible. For an awful example, for the love of God and a destruction to his kingdom. So it's very, very important because our heartfuls are deceitful above all things and who can know, but the Lord will reveal that to us and show us who and how we are through the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to continue to be persistent, to continue to pray for the Holy Spirit. He bids us to ask, to unwaringly persist in prayer, and the persistent asking brings the petitioner into a more earnest attitude and gives him an increased desire to receive the things for which he asks. He draws it to our attention that we absolutely need the Holy Spirit, and Jesus wants us to continually experience the rich blessings of the Holy Spirit, and that was page 20. And we do need the Holy Spirit, but not just for guidance, not just for him to say, this is the way, walk ye here in it, but also for refinement. Like I said earlier, it can be very frustrating to try to do things and try to shift and to make these changes within our lives and not to have that happen. And I know for myself that there was just turmoil trying to change things in my own personal strength and not allowing God to refine, because what I was doing was repressing the things and the gifts that God had given me, because I thought, well, let me be like this person, let me be like that person. But really and truly, whenever I started to let God refine the things that needed to change, my life started to change. There was more joy, there was more peace in serving. It was a different experience with God, and it was really wonderful. Let him be the one who refines you. And guess what? Whenever you start to pray to love the things that he loves and to hate the things that he hates, he will most definitely bring that to pass. Because we have the confidence that anything that we ask of him that is according to his will, he will hear us and he will answer it. And we ask that in those things in faith, and we know that he will share and he will help. He will not withhold the Holy Spirit from us. Speaking of the things that we can love and hate, it can be easy to love sins, especially those secret sins, and to hate ourselves for loving them, and to hate ourselves for the bad choices that we've made. Those carnal, deceitful hearts can come up again and again and again. But we need to remember, if we turn to Isaiah 26, verse 12, that there is work that we cannot do on our own. Isaiah 26, 12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for you have also wrought all our works in us. Everything that needs to be changed, we cannot change it ourselves. But what God will do, he will work those changes within us. He will bring us to situations for that to shift and to change. And he will let us to see the things that we may not care for ourselves, but he will also help us to make those changes. We want to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us in those areas. We want to actively surrender and to give God the things that can be ugly. I know that when it comes to active surrender, it seems weird, but an example I thought of this morning was, well, actively surrendering. I like to eat. I love to eat. I'm one of those people that if I can, I might be a little glutton if I'm allowed to do so. And it has to be a prayer to say, Lord, I'm already at 2.5 plates. I do not need that third one to make 3 plates or 3.5. So I need you to help me to not do this. And like, even if that dessert is sitting there, it's so good and you smell it. Even though dessert is for your heart and not your stomach, you really want to have that. But you say, you know what? I know better than doing this. I made a commitment that I will not put too much on my system, because our bodies are temples. Anything I put into it, even though it may be good, healthy food, too much burden on my system is not good for me. I don't want to spend energy digesting food when I can be doing other things with that. So you say, you know what, I'm going to bypass this, and you walk away. It can be hard. Sometimes this is harder for some than others, but whenever we actively submit, or if you have that situation when there's someone that you see at church or in the streets or even at home and you want to avoid them because you're angry with them, your feelings are hurt for whatever situation that was, and say, Lord, I am tired of not interacting with that individual. I'm tired of the friction. I'm tired of the cognitive dissonance. The cognitive dissonance is saying whenever you have a set of beliefs or things that you believe or you look after, and instead of following the path and doing the things that will lead you in that direction, Christ-like behavior, because you say you're Christian, you're doing things that are the exact opposite that are keeping you from having that peace. There's that friction of you saying one thing, but you're doing another. When you're able to finally speak to that person, even if you don't want to, and your heart may not be into the act of forgiving that individual, say, Lord, take this from me. I give this to you. Help me to be kind to this individual. Guess what? It's really, really hard at first. It can be. But man, when you do it, your heart may not be in it initially. Praying for that individual that has hurt you and has frustrated you for maybe years on end. But whenever you do that,
there's like this peace that passes all understanding, and it's able to help me to move forward in a way that's, you know what? Why was I upset for all these years? Why did I go without the blessings of peace for all this time? It's really cool. It's really cool. Whenever it's, sometimes it can be difficult to feel like, well, God, I did all these not good things, and I want to give you something good, something worthwhile. And then you may recognize and realize, I may not have a lot of good things to give God. And that's okay. Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights with him. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So even though we may not personally have anything good, because we're following our Father, which is in heaven, who gives us strength through the Holy Spirit to keep us connected to the divine vine, we will have the strength to do things, and we will have the desire to do good, and he will shift us, and he will change our hearts of flesh to hearts of stone. Hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Don't go back to stone. Hearts of flesh. Our Father understands. He knows. He knows how we are, and he knows why we are the way that we are. One of my friends told me a story. He used to work for a BMW dealer, and he was a mechanic. And he said, BMW came in, and no matter what they did, this car was always veering to the right, to your right. It was always veering to the right. No matter what they did, they changed the alignment, they changed the wheels, they did this and that, all the mechanical stuff that mechanics do. Nothing worked. This car was just constantly veering to the right. Like, what is going on? So they finally went to the computer to see how the car was programmed, and they found out that it was set to not the U.S. standards, but it was set to European standards. Now, since they drive on the left side of the road, some people feel like it's the wrong side, but they drive on the left side of the road, it's okay for it to veer to the right. But when you're driving on the right side of the road, that's not okay. But once they changed the settings, the configurations of the computer, the car went perfectly straight, like it was supposed to, no more veering. And that's how we are. We have been programmed the wrong way because we have carnal hearts. But whenever we allow Jesus in, the Holy Spirit will change us. He will reprogram us and help us to desire different things. It'll be wonderful. We don't have to worry about it. It's like remodeling a house. I've seen it on TV all times, fixer-uppers and different things like that. They're tearing out everything or not everything. They leave the supports, the bases and whatnot. They may repair some stuff, foundation. They have that pretty new lawn, and that's what our lives are like. We have the master carpenter, the one who also said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. There's still light. And we can trust him, knowing that he is going to help us. He is going to rebuild. He will give us a new foundation. He will cover us. If we look at Isaiah 25, verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. He will be our shadow. He will be our covering. He will help us to go forward. We don't have to worry. He will give us everything. Praying for the Holy Spirit. Actively surrendering. And moving. It's so easy to get stuck. Praying for the Holy Spirit. Praying for something to change. And us not moving. Waiting for God to do the changes. And yes, there are things that only God can do. But also, as we actively submit, we must start moving, because as we're praying for the Holy Spirit and claiming the promises of God, because he is faithful and he says that he's going to do something, he will do it. He will lead and guide and direct. As you do more praying for that, you will start to learn and be able to distinguish the voice of God. And when he's telling you to go do things and say different things and to accept where there's assignments, have that next plate of food, or to leave it, whatever the case may be. We know that God will be able to help us and guide us in any way. And he will show us how to get active. I've been reading through the book of John again, and I noticed it was really interesting. In John chapter 1, verse 33, John the Baptist says that he didn't know necessarily who Jesus was, but because the Spirit told him, the one that the Spirit descends upon and remains on him, this is the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost. This is the one who will be coming. This is the Messiah. Because he recognized, as soon as he saw that sign, he recognized it. John the Baptist proclaimed, "This is the Christ." Those who were some of John's disciples immediately went and followed Jesus the following day. And then the next day, they called their families, their brothers, to come look and to come follow the Christ. And then on the third day after this was the miracle of Cana, whenever the water was turned into wine. Their servants, all they did, Jesus said, "Fill this with water." And they did it. "Bring this cup to the master of the feast." They dipped the water, gave the wine. And that miracle was worked. And that gave them faith. They didn't have to have that faith immediately, but when they did what they were told to do, they followed the leading, guess what? Their faith increased. And that gave them the capacity to do more. If you look over a couple chapters, in chapter 4, verses 28 to 42, you have the story of the woman at the well. And we know that in this time, she was still living in sin. She still wasn't living as she should have been done. But she didn't wait to move out and to go tell people about Jesus. She went immediately and went and told the people of the town, and her life was changed forever. Do you really think after the experience of Jesus, she went back to what she was doing? She changed. The whole town changed. They believed as well, and it shifted the whole city. This is awesome. I love this. And looking back to Luke chapter 8, in verses 26 through 39, you have the demoniac who was not in his right mind. He was not clothed in his right mind. He was not clothed, period. And Jesus gave him his right mind back. He was sitting bright, bushy-tailed, learning from Jesus. And he says to him to go and tell your story. Go tell the town. And he goes back and he does that, and guess what? Whenever it's time for Jesus to come back through, because they saw what God did for this man, they saw how he was and how he now is, that gave them faith, so they were ready and they were prepared for when Jesus came to receive him as well. You might think, well, were they really ready to go? And in parents, no, but in reality, yes, they really were prepared to go and tell. Why? Because each of them had a story. Each of them had an experience. Each of them were able to tell and say, "This is how I was," or "You saw how I was, and this is how I am because of the one that I met who came into my heart and changed my life." Jesus did say, "You shall be my witnesses." They did not wait to have perfectly honed spiritual gifts. They heard the voice of God, and they moved. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Continue to actively surrender. Move and be active. And also be prepared. When I was resident assistant, we went through training and they had these little situations called behind closed doors. So I was just going and knocking on the door, didn't know what was going on behind it. And we had practiced how we would be able to handle these situations that you might run into as a resident assistant, whether someone's passed out, not to touch them, how to call the campus police, how to deal with someone having a panic attack, just different random things. You didn't know what you're going through. And every time in one of these situations, they usually reinforce the necessity of how to call the campus police, how to tell them where you are, who you are, where you were, and the situation to get them out to get help as much as possible and quickly as possible. Like, ugh, I was tired of it. I was like, I don't think I'll ever use this. I don't ever want to use this. But I needed to have that prepared just in case. And then one night, that time came. It was winter, it was icy, it was snowing. This is the mountains of Tennessee, so it was not cute. people don't know how to drive in the snow out there, so it wasn't a good night. And we had a situation where an individual, one of our residents, was drunk, suicidal, had to call campus police because he was drunk, and we had to do that situation. But then it escalated to us having to call out more because there's weapons, there's blood, it wasn't cute. And who but me gets to be the one to call campus police? And in that moment, then everything is like my mind went blank, but I dialed, and the things I had practiced in the past came out automatically. I wasn't ready for it, but because I had practiced, it was ingrained in me and ready. There's going to be situations and times where we're going to meet individuals who need extra help. They're going to have stories or situations that they're going through, and they don't know how to respond or what to do. We need to be prepared as Christians, not just with Bible stories or the text, the promises of help, but also with the examples. I have been through this as well, or I've been through this, or something similar. This is what God did for me. This is how I made it through this situation. It's one thing to hear about someone in the Bible going through something, but to have someone face-to-face, a flesh human being, saying, this is how God helped me, and if he helped me, he can help you. It makes God reachable, because we are his hands and feet. And if we have practice sharing our stories, you are going to save lives. Just like when I made that call and that individual's life was saved that night, you will save lives, and people will be in the kingdom because of the hope they had in Christ through you and the story that you share. I don't like talking. I don't like sharing. I've done things I'm really not proud of. It feels gross. I don't want to do it. It's uncomfortable. This is true. This is true. It can be uncomfortable. It can be, if there can be fear of judgment, sharing that you've gone through similar situations as someone else who is struggling. It can even be a knock on pride, because you have to admit that there have been times in your life when you have been weak. Although we're all human beings that are fallen, we've all had our weak times and points. But can be a little bit difficult for some. Does anyone here have a wood-burning stove? Okay, nice, yeah. I grew up with one. We went through quite a bit out in Tennessee, and I'll probably go through more here than we did out there. And we get got to clear out lots of what, ashes, right? Got to clear out lots of ashes. Buckets by the time the winter is done. Do you know that ashes serve a purpose? They have a lot of good things that you can do with them. Y'all know that, right? Of course, you do. Compost, you can repel slugs and snails with it when you circle it around your plants and stuff like that. You can use it to polish silver. You can use it to neutralize the stench of a skunk. Not preferably not on you, but if like one of your pets got sprayed or something, use that. You can use it to make soap. It can even be a base for concrete. Ashes have so many uses. I'm sure the wood probably didn't like being burned and turned into ash, but there's still uses for the ashes even after that. And even though we don't like the situations that we've been through, the choices that we've made, the bad decisions, there's still something good that can come from it, because God can take ashes and turn them into beauty. You can be, Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord and he will rain righteousness upon you. You can be that fertilizer and that fallow ground of that heart of that person you're talking to be able to help them to have that extra fertilizer, extra help and support, to be able to have faith in God. You can be that little repellent by sharing your story. You can say, you know what? Someone else is going to live vicariously through you, and they're not going to have that same experience. They're not going to go down that same road. And if they have gone that same road, maybe not to the depths that you had gone, because you're helping to repel that. You're helping to polish, to get rid of the stains, to help them work through and journey through the situation so they're not going to have those stains with them. You're going to help them to get clean, and you're going to be that concrete that builds that bridge between them and between Jesus so that they have hope in their Savior. And you're going to be that hope in the dying world, do that bridge to this dying world that we have. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Surrender. Move, even if it's awkward. Being prepared with your stories and sharing those. And lastly, be ready to journey. Journey with the people that God has put in your life. You're having an evangelistic series coming up soon, right? This week? Yes. Very, very close. Very close. How are we preparing for that? Are we getting our stories ready? Are you getting mentally prepared for the fact that the individuals that we're bringing in, that we're wanting to introduce to Jesus, are in spaces in their lives where that are not the best, that can be really, really ugly and nasty? They want, and that the enemy, when they come in, is going to be fighting even harder and making their lives even nastier and harder and even messier because they're trying to come and break away from the chains of slavery to sin and have freedom in Christ. We are in a spiritual warfare. It can be ugly and it can be nasty to journey with someone and in their really bad space, in their hard times. But do it. Just do it. It's probably going to be nasty and ugly. And I'm emphasizing this because I feel like I need it to for the day. It's going to be rough. But God has also sent people into each of our lives as well to journey with us in our really not cute times. And guess what? We're here. And he, as those individuals have been used to help us with our things, we can also be the hands and feet of Jesus to help the other individuals with their things as well. Befriend these individuals. There is a pastor of an academy who he did like heavy lifting, lots of muscles, all that good stuff. Like he did all the iron lifting. And he was like a champion in another country, whatever he was doing. All the heavy lifting, and he has a home gym, and he uses that gym. He and a couple other pastors get together, and they invite other people to come over, Christians or not. They come over and they work out together, and they get buffed together, and they talk about God together, and they talk about their situations that they're having together and their stressors while they're working out. And it's really cool to see that the ministry that's happening there, just reading them working out together and talking about Jesus together, it's so awesome. Befriend them, invite them to your homes or cook for them, do different things. Disciple them whenever they come in. And say, yes, we're happy you're here, but you know what? Come over, have a meal. I don't know how often you'll have Sabbath lunch, but here's a recipe, let's try this. Call them in the week. Y'all know all these things. You know all these things. And it's not going to be all so clear how to help individuals when they come. Some things are super easy and set in stone. Others like, I don't know. But as we continue to pray for the Holy Spirit, surrender to him and his guidance, to move when he tells us, even when it's awkward, prepared to share and sharing our stories and our lives with these individuals that he brings to journey with us. He's going to bring us to a different place, a different space, and he's going to use us to uplift those individuals to his throne of grace. He will use us to give them a vision, because without a vision, the people will perish. And people are perishing without that. Whenever we get to heaven, There's one thing that we cannot do, that we can do while we're here on this earth. And that is to be able to win people for Jesus. By then it will be too late. But while we are still here, as we have that hope of him coming burning in our hearts, let us reach out with those hearts that he has given us, those hearts of flesh, to be able to journey with these individuals. And whenever we get to heaven, it's going to be so awesome to hear the stories. Not just our stories of each other and how we, the things that we have conquered through Christ, but also reading at the end of John, he was saying that he only, the stories that he listed in his book were for the, for our faith and for us to increase faith. There are so many stories that we have no idea that happened. So many. And we're going to get to hear all of those whenever we get to heaven. But we want other people to hear those too. And as Jesus is continuing to woo us and woo the world closer to him, softly and tenderly, may we remember these things, to pray for his Holy Spirit, to surrender, to move forward, being prepared to share our stories, and being ready to journey with other individuals, because as we do these things, our lives will be changed, their lives will be changed, and he will use you, all of us, as unworthy as we have been, if he's using even me to speak this morning, our Savior would love to use you. So, yes, now we're closing him.
Amen. For our closing hymn, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, 287, if you could just please stand.
Come home, come home. So much for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord, and to be reminded of our need for the Holy Spirit, our need to be able to surrender ourselves to you, that we can trust you, that you are willing to use us to make a difference in the world, and to make a difference not only with our loved ones, the ones who are in the church, but even those who are perishing, Father. I pray that you please strengthen us, sustain us, remind us of your love, give us the courage to go forward, to be able to meet these individuals and to be able to journey with them. Thank you for the reminder that you will use even me, every single person in this building, for your kingdom, because you have a purpose. You've given us gifts and talents to use to reach one more lost man, woman, boy, and girl for your kingdom. We thank you for hearing and answering. We ask that you bless the rest of this Sabbath. May we keep it holy. May we remember all the offerings of your love. In the sweet name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
I did have a little announcement. It's a private ministry that my husband and I are going to be doing. October 31 at our house at 7 p.m. We will be burning all occult material. We will have a massive bonfire. We're using a fire like the Bible says, so bring every form, if you have it, of witchcraft, the occult, New Age, Satanism, and sorcery. It all needs to go. Cleanse your home from Harry Potter and play witchcraft. It's evil and should not be tolerated. Burn the dream catchers, spell books, healing crystals, yoga material. If you want the curse removed from your home, you need to disperse of anything that is connected to the evil. The Masonic Lodge, burn every Masonic book, every ring, pendant, apron, Shriner's hat, clean out the DVD cabinets, burn all horror and murderous movies, rid yourself of ungodly and devilish music, clear out satanic symbols, satanic board games, and Dungeons and Dragons, Pokemon, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes around your home, and then start gathering. There's loads more, you get the idea, it has to go. If you're going to rise to the next level in your walk with God, you cannot tolerate witchcraft, curses, and demonism. Burn it. So gather it up, bring it all. We will worship, we will pray, we will burn, we will celebrate Jesus and push back the forces of darkness on the year's most evil night. We are children of light. Let us draw close to Jesus and start fresh with our walk with the Lord. Acts 19:19-20. Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver worth 5 million in today's U.S. dollars. So mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. That's what we want to see. So you are welcomed in our home October 31st at 7 p.m. Refreshments will be served.